For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, November the 26th, 1988. Thanksgiving weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the evening. Come on, Brother Tommy.
Thank you, Raymond. Turn to Luke 24. Let's turn there tonight. How many's enjoyed the teachings in the camp? Amen. Yeah, go ahead and clap. Praise the Lord. Luke 24. Luke 24. I'm not going to speak on what I'm going to say, but I was in Michigan recently ministering, and 6 o'clock their time, 5 o'clock Tulsa time, the Lord said these words to me, "Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" I heard Him say those words just like you'd speak to me. And I believe it was to me and to all those that I ministered to that night. And, you know, there is a premature death. And I believe that if God has given you and me a ministry, He expects us to fulfill it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And it's the devil's business to try to stop us and hinder us from coming on in and fulfilling that ministry. And we have to deal with the devil, don't we? Take authority over it. So let's fulfill our ministries. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Look in Luke 24. Luke 24, we know that the Lord here in verse 47 is speaking to His apostles. And He said, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name," or in His nature, "among all nations." Hallelujah. That includes Belize, where Brother and Sister Golden is. "Beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Now notice these next words. "But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be what?
Endued
with power from on high." Now, that word endued, here's what it means. Let me tell you what it means. That word endued means sinking into a garment. It means putting a garment on. And that garment is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. How many want to wear His garment?
Amen.
Amen. So He said, "Until you be endued with power," or dunamis, "from on high." But it means to sink into a garment. It means to invest with clothing, to be arrayed, or to be clothed with, or have put on that clothing of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. He's not only in us, but He's upon us, isn't He? Jesus said the Holy Ghost would come upon you. Now, look in Romans with me, chapter 11 in the Scriptures. Romans 11. And look at chapter 11, I said, didn't I? Well, it's not chapter 11, chapter 13. Now, look at verse 12. Here we see this word "put on." That word for endued, put on, means to be put something on. In verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore do something. Cast off the works of darkness." How many know that's connected with the old man? "And let us put on the armor of light." That's the new man. "And let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness and chambering, wantonness, strife and envy." Then He says again, "But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh." Hallelujah. So we must put on that garment. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. The Lord gave me this word in the service this morning as Brother Garner was ministering. Revelation chapter 3. So I was writing and listening to him too. So I enjoyed it. Revelation chapter 3. And let's look here at the Scripture. Look in verse 1. Now, what we see in these churches, how many know we are facing today too in the church? Isn't that right? Everything that you see, good and bad, in the churches, I believe we can see today in 1988 in the church. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Unto the angel or the messenger of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. That's a fullness. And the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. All right, here's the people that said, we're living. But Jesus said, no, you're not living, you are dead. Now, that is a deception, isn't it? To think you're living when death is working in and through you. Hallelujah. How many know there are people tonight who think they have life and possibly they're living in death? We have to choose life. Do you believe that? We have to choose it. Praise the Lord. You have to fight for life too, don't you, in the Spirit? Amen. Now, look at verse 2. Be watchful, that means to wake up, and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to what? Die. Now, we don't have to let things die. You know, the Bible said there were people who sat down and watched Jesus die. They just watched Him die. We can sit down and watch a church die. We can watch our family die spiritually. We can watch others die spiritually. But yet we have the power to rise up in the Holy Ghost and pray, don't we, brother? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, so He said here that we're to do something, that we are to strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Verse 3, remember therefore how you've received and heard and hold fast, repent, if therefore thou shalt not what? Watch, I will come on thee as a thief. And that's the element of surprise. You never know when a thief's coming. And notice He's not talking to the sinners, He's talking to the church here. Right. I'll come on you, church, as a thief, and thou shalt not know, you'll not know or realize what hour I will come upon thee. Now, He said earlier that this endowment's coming upon us, but yet He's saying to this church, I'll come upon you in an hour that you don't expect. But it's not endowment, it's not in the endowment of power, is it? He's coming as a thief. Now, verse 4. Thou hast a few names. Many are called. We got on that last night. Come on, help me now. Few are chosen. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled or soiled. It means they got dirty garments on. How many like to wear dirty clothes in the natural? We all like to be clean, don't we? Hallelujah. Which have not defiled, soiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. Who's going to walk with them in white? The few. The few which are overcomers. Now notice, for they are worthy. And those are the overcomers. Now next verse. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in what? White raiment. Hallelujah. And notice what else. I will not blot out his name, the overcomer's name out, if he's overcoming and if he has the right garment on. I will not blot his name out of the book of life. Hallelujah. And confess his name before the Father. Well, what if we don't overcome and what if we don't put on the right garments? How many know there's a chance to be blotted out? Isn't that right? God, that's God's business. How many know He said, those that sin against me, I'll blot him out over in Exodus. But that's God's business to do that. It's up to us to put on the garments, the garments of the Lord, amen, and to overcome, praise the Lord. I believe a lot of overcoming is we're struggling in ourselves to do it. And without deliverance, how many know you can't overcome? I said, without deliverance, you can't overcome properly. You cannot. I don't care what they say, you can't. Hallelujah. Amen. Put it to the test. Amen. Now, turn with me to another scripture. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice. That's what we did tonight. That's what we should do tomorrow. Amen. And give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. That puts some responsibility upon you and me. Now, it's His power, it's His anointing, it's His Word, but yet it's our responsibility to get ready. Now, verse 8, and to her, to His wife, was granted something. She's got a grant. That she should be arrayed or dressed in, here it is now, fine linen. How many believe those are going to be overcomers? clean and white for the fine linen. Notice that. The fine linen is what? The righteousness of saints, or the righteous acts of saints. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. Hallelujah. Let's look at works of righteousness. How many know that righteousness is revealed from faith to faith? And as you grow in faith, righteousness comes to you and is revealed to you. Now, 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, how many believe he's righteous tonight? He's made righteousness unto us too. You know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now look in chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth or practices righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So back in Revelation 19, it said that the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, or the righteous deeds of the saints. Praise the Lord. So if we're a saint, we're going to do righteous deeds. We're going to put on the garments of the Lord. We're going to be his wife. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, turn to Revelation 4. Revelation 4, we saw in chapter 3 that the fine linen was given to the overcomer, the one that overcomes, and the one that was not defiled or had not soiled their garments. Chapter 4, and we're talking about the 24 elders here. And if you look in chapter 4, look at verse 4. It said, and round about the throne were 24 seats, or 24 thrones. And upon the seats of the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting. Now notice, they're sitting, clothed in white raiment. You know who they are? They're overcomers. Sitting and clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. But how many know they threw those crowns before him? Amen. Amen. These are overcomers. Now, turn to Ezekiel 9. This is one of the scriptures that Brother Glenn always brings out. Ezekiel 9. And let's look there at the scripture. How many believe God's sealing his people? God's marking his people with his mark, his nature, his number, and so forth. Ezekiel 9, verse 1, he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them to have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with a destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men, that's the number of man, and that's where destruction's coming from man, came from the way of the higher gate, which lies towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. Now look at this, and one man, now I believe that's a corporate man. One man. God is raising up one man. One new man, isn't he, brethren? And he said, one man among them was clothed with what? Who do you think that is? That's a company of overcomers. Clothed with linen. And a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And that means brass represents judgment, so something's going to be judged. And verse 3, notice, the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub. And it says here, whereof he was, to the threshold of the house, he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the rider's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem. How many know Jerusalem's the church today too?
Amen.
And you see, there's natural Jerusalem, there is the church Jerusalem, and yet whether you know it or not, your soul speaks of Jerusalem. Did you know that? The outer court speaks of your body, doesn't it? The holy place speaks of your soul. The Holy of Holies speaks of what?
Spirit.
Your spirit, all right? In the outer court, you got Israel. In the holy place, you got Jerusalem. And in the Holy of Holies, you got Zion. Are you hearing me now? So there's natural Jerusalem, there's the church Jerusalem, and there's the mind of man. What's being marked here? The soul, the mind. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry. Here's the intercessors. And what are they sighing and crying about? All the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And you go back and read chapter 8 and chapter 9, and you'll see some of those abominations that they were talking about. And God said in verse 6, begin at my sanctuary. Now, turn to Revelation 7. Let's look at this people here. In Revelation 7, turn there. And in chapter 7, verse 1, and before you look at chapter 7, verse 1, look at the last verse of chapter 6, important verse that we need to see. He asked you and me a question in 6:17 of Revelation. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now the Bible said we have not been appointed to wrath. Isn't that right? He didn't say we wouldn't have tribulation. But he said the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Now, before I give you the rest of that, turn back to Zephaniah. The Lord just gave me a word here to go back there. Zephaniah chapter 2. Zephaniah. How many know this Bible is true? It's the truest book in the world. Hallelujah. It's all truth. Zephaniah chapter 2. Now let's see who will be able to stand in that day. Zephaniah 2. Verse 1, gather yourselves together. That's what we've done in this camp meeting. Isn't that right? It's not by chance that we're here. I believe the Holy Ghost brought every one of us, don't you?
Yes.
Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation, not desired. Notice that, not desired. This nation is not desired. That's the nation that Peter talks about. It's a holy nation. Now, verse 2, before the decree bring forth and before the day pass as the chaff, and before, notice the words before now, before the decree, before the day passed, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. And you know, God's given us a chance and opportunity to prepare for that day. Now, verse 3, seek ye the Lord. Before that comes, seek ye the Lord. Don't wait till it comes. I mean, no, that's going to be too late for many. Seek ye the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, that's Jesus, that's the kingdom. Seek meekness, because they'll inherit the earth, isn't that right?
That's right?
Hallelujah. It may be you shall be hid in the day, come on,
of the Lord's
anger. I mean, oh, God gets his wrath kindled at times. And so he said, it may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Now turn to Isaiah, before we go back now to Revelation. Isaiah chapter, I hope you got a lot of fingers. Isaiah 26, 21. Hallelujah. Excuse me, verse 20. Isaiah 26, 20. And God said, come my people. Notice, my people, his people, the saints. The ones that have gathered together. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. That's your bedchamber. That's your closet. That's that intimate place with God. And shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. Until what? The indignation, the tribulation, the trouble be overpassed. Now, that's a command, isn't it? Storm's coming. Tribulation's coming. God said, get in your chambers. For a little moment until that thing passes over. Verse 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. For their iniquity, the earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. All right. Let's go back to Revelation 7. So, we've been asked the question in chapter 6, verse 17. The great day of his wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? Chapter 7 tells us who it is. Verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels, four messengers. I mean, no, four is the number of creation. It's the number of the world. Standing on what? The four corners of the earth. All right, now they tell me there's four corners in the natural earth. But how many know you've got four corners of your earth? It's your mind, your will, emotions, and your desires. Man has the capability today to destroy and kill all humanity because of the bombs and missiles that we have. Isn't that right? And so he said, there are four angels standing on the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow where? On the earth. Now that's the natural earth. But how many know this is earth too? Or the sea, that's humanity. Or on any tree, that's the natural trees, but yet we're trees of righteousness. There's the natural, and yet there is the Christian. Now, I saw another angel ascending from the east. This one's coming from the east, bringing light. Coming from light, bringing light. Having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Look at verse 3 now, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we, and that we is the same one in Ezekiel chapter 9. It is a corporate people. It is a people with a message that's sealing a people. If they'll hear them, praise the Lord, and keep them from destruction. Amen? Having sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Turn back to chapter 9 of Revelation, over to chapter 9. And we see there are different woes here in Revelation. Three different woes, and we can see it here in this chapter. And in chapter 9, you'll notice the locusts come out of the pit, and like scorpions of the earth, the Bible said. And in verse 4, it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither green, any green thing, nor any tree, but only those men which have not the what? Seal of God, where? In their foreheads or in their minds. So they could not torment, they could not hurt those that were seal, praise be unto God. It's time that we get sealed, isn't it? Sealed in our hearts. We know when Jesus come in, we got sealed. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, we got sealed. But there is a sealing yet in the soul, the mind, that we have to receive in this end time. Can you say amen? Now go over to Zechariah now, chapter 3, and let's look at a scripture there on the garments. Chapter 3 of Zechariah, praise the Lord. I may believe we've got an enemy tonight that wants to resist you and me and is resisting you and me if we're going on with God. But how many know God has given us power over the devil if we submit to God and resist Him? Amen? In faith. Zechariah 3, notice verse 1, he showed me Joshua. How many know Joshua means Savior? How many know Joshua and the word Jesus, basic same word, Hebrew and Greek. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. Now, Joshua here is a type of God's sons. And he's standing before this messenger of the Lord. And notice who else is standing there. Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now, if you're going to go towards the Holy of Holies, you will have Satan standing there to resist you. Next verse. And the Lord said to Satan, hallelujah. I mean, no, Satan hears God when he speaks. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem, there's the chosen, rebuke thee, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Hallelujah. How many believe you come out of the fire? Amen. You may be in it tonight, but you've been one plucked up. Verse 3, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and he stood before the angel. Now, this Joshua is not Jesus here. Jesus didn't have any filthy garments on. Yes, he took our sin upon him, but Jesus didn't have filthy garments. And the angel, notice, and he answered and spake to those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. Notice, there is a ministry here. Look in verse 4 again. He answered and spake to those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. So that's a ministry, isn't it? Your minister may be taking the filthy garments off your brother. Hallelujah. And help clothing him. Amen. Praise God. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. So the filth is going, clean garments are coming. Hallelujah. Now notice when the clean garment came, it's when iniquity was purged and cleansed. How many want a clean garment tonight? We got to get rid of our iniquities, don't we? All of us. Amen? Verse 5, and I said, let them, here's that ministry again, let them, corporate, set a fair mitre upon his head. That's the turban, isn't it? How many know that speaks to the mind of Christ? Now, there's an order here. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and then, notice, they clothed him with garments. So when you begin to take on the mind of Christ, you begin to also take on the garments of the Lord, don't you? So when your mind is changed, when your mind is getting saved, renewed, and restored, then God, at the same time, begins to put clean garments upon you. The iniquity is passing. Hallelujah. The clean garments are coming. And the angel of the Lord stood by, and the angel of the Lord protested to Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house. Now notice, once iniquity is being purged, you're taking on the mind of Christ, you're taking on the garments of the Lord, you're going to begin to walk in God's ways, not in your iniquity or my iniquity, and you're going to keep God's charge. And God said, then and then only can you judge my house. Hallelujah. And thou shalt keep my courts, and I will give thee palaces, places to walk among those that stand by. Now look at verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy what? Fellows or companions, see, it's a corporate body, that sit before thee, for they are men. How many know we need some men today? Men that grow up in God. Hallelujah. For they are men. Martin says, men of wonder. Anybody else got another word or translation there? They are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. How many know that's a corporate branch? He's the vine. Come on, help me now. For behold, the stone that I've laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. That's that fullness. Behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land. How long? In one day. Did you hear that? But remember, a day with the Lord, come on, as a thousand years is a day. How many know God is removing that iniquity in the day to come? The fullness of it. Amen? And in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Praise the Lord. So God wants us to be purged tonight. Hallelujah. Cleansed. Take on the mind of Christ. Get your mind renewed in this Word of God by the Holy Ghost. And God said you can also take on the garments as well. Then you can judge my house by walking in my ways. Can you say amen? Now, turn over to Luke chapter 10. Luke 10. And look in verse 30. Look in verse 30. Jesus is speaking here. He said, a certain man, notice, he went down. Like Jonah, every step he took was down after he disobeyed God. He went down from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, again, it speaks, there's natural Jerusalem. Jerusalem speaks of the church. It speaks of the presence of God. So he leaves the presence of God. He goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho, the place of the curse, city of the palm trees, and fell among what? Thieves. How many know that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy? And notice he fell among the thieves. How many know if you get in his territory, he's going to beat you up. He's going to try to kill you. And so he gets among the thieves. Notice what they did. They stripped him of his raiment and what else? Now notice they couldn't wound him until they stripped him. Once the garment was stripped, then they could wound him. You get in the enemy's territory, a place where you shouldn't be, out of the will of God. Let me tell you what will happen. You'll get stripped. You'll get wounded. Go back and read about Naomi in the book of Ruth. And departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest. He's a type of the ministry. Had a lot of compassion. He passed on the other side and left him alone. Verse 32, here comes the congregation, a Levite. When he was at the place, he came and saw him, passed on the other side too. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. How many know Jesus came where we was? In our wounds, in our lost state and so forth. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 34. And he went to him. He bound up his wounds. How did he do it? Pouring in the oil and the wine. If you have fallen into the trap of the enemy, into thieves' hands, and you've been stripped and you've been wounded, let me tell you, brethren, you need somebody to pour in some oil and wine in you tonight. The oil is the Holy Ghost and the wine is the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many know that when you're down and when you're tired and you don't feel good and the joy of the Lord all of a sudden comes upon you and in you, it revives you, doesn't it? It'll take you through. Amen? And set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. You know what the inn is? It's a local church. Well, what's the end for? It's to keep you in until God says time to go. So, amen? brought him to an end and took care of him. Hallelujah. Now notice, and on the morrow when he was departed, he took out two pennies. A penny was a day's wage for 2 days. So he got enough money for 2 days. A day with the Lord is what now? 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. So notice, he took out two pennies for 2 days and gave to the host. Who's the host? It's the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the shepherds, and the evangelists. Are you hearing me? He had a lot of confidence in the host, didn't he? Hallelujah. And said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I what? Come again. Hallelujah. I will repay thee. He gave enough for 2 days. Jesus has been gone almost 2 days, hasn't he? That was day before yesterday. Hallelujah. He said, if it takes any more, I'll pay you when I come. Turn to Revelation. Let's look at it. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Look in verse 12. Jesus says the same thing he said right there in Luke. 22:12 of Revelation. Behold, I come what? Now, John was in the Spirit when he said those words. Now, when you're in the Spirit, how many know his coming is quickly? But when you're living in the flesh, maybe 100 years, 50 years, 20 years. But when you're in the Spirit living close to God, how many know it's imminent? Behold, I come quickly. My reward is where? With me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Well, I'm going over there to get it. Well, it says here he's coming. He's bringing the reward with him. So if you're going over there, you're going to miss him. Amen? Because he's coming here. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, turn to Zephaniah. Getting all these easy books. Zephaniah chapter 1. We were there a while ago, but let's go back there and look at another scripture. Let's look at a strange scripture here. And in verse 6, though, there are those who turn back. There are those that they turn back from the Lord. There are those that have not sought the Lord. Now, to not seek God is equivalent of forsaking God. When we stop seeking God, we forsake God. And so he said, there are those who turn back from the Lord. There are those that have not sought the Lord. Or, number 3, they have not inquired for him. Now, notice down in verse 8, it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such are clothed with strange apparel. My margin says they have adopted the ways of the pagans. How many know paganism has come into the church? Sure has. And God said right here, because Zephaniah is an end time book, and he said these people are clothed with a strange apparel, and yet we need the very garments of God today, don't we? Let's kick out the paganism. Let's kick out the iniquity. And let's take on the garments of God. Amen? Let's don't adopt the ways of pagans. Hallelujah. Let's adopt the ways of Almighty God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn to Isaiah 4. Isaiah 4 and verse 1. Here is the religious crowd. I mean, there's religious spirits. Sometimes they're hard to detect, Gene, aren't they? Sometimes. But once you find them out, praise the Lord, you can deal with it, if they'll let you. Chapter 4, verse 1. And in that day, what 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread. How many churches were there?
7.
This speaks of 7 churches, the religious systems. I mean, it speaks of a lot of things. And so he said, there are 7 women taking hold of one man saying, we'll eat our own bread. We want our own food, Jesus. We don't want your bread. And we're going to wear our own apparel. We want our righteousness, and it's filthy. Only, Lord, we want to be called by your name to take away our reproach. We want to be a Christian. We want to be a Christian. We want to tell everybody we're a Christian, but we don't want to eat your bread. We don't want your righteousness. And yet we want to go to heaven. Verse 2. How many know that some of the crowd that's crying, he's coming in a minute, he wouldn't have them the way they're living. Come on now. Verse 2. And in that day, Shall the branch, there is that branch, there's that word again, of the Lord be something beautiful and glorious. That's the kind of church he's going to have, isn't it? And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are what? Escaped of Israel. What's most people thinking about an escape? A rapture, isn't that right? But what is the escape? It's verse 1. You don't want to be in the crowd that's saying we we want our own bread, we want to wear our own apparel. You don't want to be in that crowd, you want to escape that bunch. Amen? Because we need His bread, we need His righteousness. Glory be to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I want to say something. Turn down, look down to verse 5 and 6 just a minute here. He's going to purge the church with the spirit of judgment and burning. Verse 5, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon what? That's the local churches. Upon her assemblies. Notice, her assemblies. He's going to create a cloud. I mean, oh, and the smoke by day. How many has ever seen that cloud and smoke? You ever seen that come into the service? It was in Texas and it came in, that smoke came in and filled that whole room where we were. Whole room came in. I mean, it was filled with that smoke. Presence of God came in there. It was so beautiful. First time I've ever seen it. Notice he said here, upon our assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. I gave a prophecy last week to a group in Oklahoma, and as I was prophesying, I saw right on the chapel there, just like fire. And God said there's going to be a time when people's going to think the place is on fire, and it's going to be the fire of the Lord in that place. They're going to visibly see it, and they think it's a natural fire when it's going to be the Holy Ghost fire. And Linda's going there next few days with Rod and Linda. That's the place. Now notice here, a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flame by night, for upon all the glory shall be a what? Shall be a defense or a covering or a canopy. Well, I had a pastor one time had a vision years ago. I was in the Assemblies of God in the 60s, and Brother Hartz, he had a vision 2 hours and around close to 30 minutes. And in the vision, he had his hands raised, all the vision. But how many know that has to be God? And he saw all around the world, and all around the world he saw a place that he'd see canopies, big canopies. And he said over, around the canopies, there would be a lot of Christians. Well, there were big canopies. Some places, small canopies, just a few Christians. And then there were places he saw there was no canopies, no Christians at all. And God gave him a vision on intercessory prayer. And he saw as we prayed and interceded, we ascended up in God. And we'd quit praying, we started coming back down. And that's the way it is, spiritually. And so here it says, that upon her shall be all the glory, and there shall be a defense, or a canopy, or a covering. I want to tell you tonight, God is your covering. The Holy Ghost is your covering. And I know a lot of people say, this person covers and this group covers. But I want to tell you, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you ain't got a covering. He is the real covering. Amen? Amen? Now, look at the last verse. And there shall be a tabernacle for the shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert, and my margin says covering, from the storm and from the rain. Praise God. We need a covering tonight, don't we? Let's look at it. Isaiah 30. Let's look at the covering. Look at the covering right here. It's God's presence there in the local churches. That's the covering. But in chapter 30, verse 1, notice verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel. They're listening to somebody else besides the Holy Ghost. And we all need to know the voice of God, don't we? But not of me, God says, and that cover with a covering. Notice they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. And if you're under any other covering besides the Holy Ghost covering, it's going to breed rebellion. You're going to add sin to sin. And in verse 2, you're going to go down into Egypt, which is the world, lust the eye, lust the flesh, and the pride of life. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
And you're going to get involved with the strength of Pharaoh. Now, look in Ezekiel 29. Let's look at that Pharaoh. Ezekiel 29. Hallelujah. Look at verse 2, Ezekiel 29, verse 2. You get out from God's covering. I said it breeds rebellion. You listen to another counsel. There's sin being added to your life, leading you down to Egypt. And you begin to trust in Pharaoh and in the strength of Egypt. And chapter 29, verse 2, Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of who? Egypt. And prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Prophesy against all Egypt. Lust the eye, lust the flesh, pride of life. I mean, oh, there's the spirit of Egypt. Verse 3, speak and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Here it is, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which has said, my river is mine own, I have made it for myself. Now, I know rivers can speak of those things in man, but I want to tell you, there's something connected with river, with water and demons. How many know there are four angels bound in the river Euphrates, the Bible says in Revelation? How many know when Jesus cast the demons out of the hogs, where'd they go? Right down in the water and drowned, didn't they? Demons, of course, came out. And yet, we see the hurricanes going across the waters and with death and destruction. And so right here it says that Pharaoh, king of Egypt, here, the dragon that lies in the midst of his rivers. And notice what he said, my river is mine own, I've made it for myself. And yet, if you go over to Isaiah 27 now, and of course we know water speaks of humanity, in Isaiah 27 as well, look in Isaiah 27 verse 1. It says, in that day, or in the day of the Lord, in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword. I may believe God's got a strong sword. I mean, it should be in our hands and our mouths. Shall punish who? Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and shall slay the dragon that's where? In the sea. Now, turn over to Isaiah 57. Hallelujah. I come tonight to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 57, verse 20 and 21. Listen to what God said. But the wicked are like the troubled sea. The wicked are like the troubled sea. How many know John saw there was no more heaven, no more sea? How many know God's going to do away with wickedness? Hello? The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no wicked, saith my God to the wicked. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at some of the garments tonight. Turn to Isaiah 59. Let's look at several garments here tonight that we've got to put on. We'll look at about seven garments, okay? Hallelujah. Got so much I couldn't give it all to you. Now, how many know the Bible said without a vision, come on, help me now, the people perish. But that means without a vision, the people are made naked. We need a prophetic vision. That's actually what it means. Without a prophetic vision, the people are made naked. And we saw in Revelation 16 last night, verse 15, Jesus tells us that we're to watch and not lose our garments. Isn't that right? And then in Revelation 3, the Laodicean church, we see that there's garments upon them. All right, now, look here in chapter 59. Chapter 59 of Isaiah. Look at verse 16 and 17. And he saw that there was no man, but thank God he's bringing forth one, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Now look at verse 17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon the head, and he put on the garments of what? Vengeance for clothing, was clad with a zeal as a cloak. Now, how many know we've got to put on the garment of vengeance? Not against humanity, but against the enemy. Now look here in chapter 61, just a minute, of Isaiah. Look in Isaiah 61. And this is a quote from Luke over in the New Testament. Jesus talking about being anointed, preaching good tidings to the brokenhearted, and setting liberty to them that are captive, and so on. Verse 2. Notice verse 2 in chapter 61. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of what?
Vengeance
of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Praise God. Now, while we're there, look in verse 3. Here's the next garment. To point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Hallelujah. All right, so we can see there is the garment of vengeance. There is the garment of salvation, the garment of praise. Now, turn to another scripture. Turn to Psalms 132. Let's look at another garment. Psalms 132, look at verse 9. Verse 9, Psalms 132:9. Notice what it says. Let thy priest be clothed with righteousness. That's our garment. That's Jesus. That's the Lord. And let thy saints do something when you're clothed. Shout for joy. Hallelujah. That's what we did tonight when Brother Golden came up. Verse 16, but we need to do it tomorrow. Amen. Look at verse 16. Here is the other one. I will also clothe her priests with salvation. That's deliverance, isn't it? And her saints shall shout aloud for joy. So when your garments come on, what are we going to do? We're going to shout. Amen? We're going to shout. Praise the Lord. Now turn back. Not yet. No, I won't give you that. Turn to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Let's see what the garment is now. How many of us not just going to your closet putting something on? It's coming from the Spirit. Matthew 17, verse 1, after 6 days, Luke says it's about 8 days, so after 6 comes 7, about 8, 7. So we're talking about the seventh day, aren't we? How many know there's 7 days from Adam, 7,000 years from Adam we're coming into? We're in the sixth day now. After 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, that's the remnant. His brother brings him up into a high mountain apart. Notice that. That's a high place in God, spiritually speaking, although it was a natural mountain. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. There was so much glory in Jesus that it came on the outside. His face shone, and they saw, notice, his raiment, white as light. Look over in Luke. See what he says. Luke 9:29. Says it just a little different. Luke 9:29. Is he our pattern? Fig leaves won't do, will it? I mean, old fig leaves just cover the front. Don't turn around. We'll reveal ourselves, won't we? Luke 9, verse 29. Luke 9:29. And as he prayed, notice that. As he prayed, how many know something takes place when we pray? The fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment or his clothing was white and glistering or shining. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So as we pray, how many know the glory not only comes in us, but one of these days is going to be seen on the outside as well, isn't it? If we're following the Lamb. Amen? So we need that precious, precious glory of God today to come into us, to clothe us, and to do a work within us. Turn over just one other scripture here on this. Well, not yet. Just one more, but turn to Psalm 45. A few more. Psalm 45. I thought I looked at that watch. It said the same time. Well, go. Psalms 45. Now look at verse 9. Here again we see God's bride, God's church. King's daughters were among the honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. How many know that's God's nature? That's her covering, brethren. Now look at verse 11. No, verse 10. Look at verse 10. Hearken, O daughter, consider and incline thine ear. Forget all, also thine own people and thy father's house. That's what God told Abraham, wasn't it? Verse 11, Psalms 45, verse 11. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Verse 13, the king's daughter is all glorious where? Within. Oh, hallelujah. How many know that's that divine nature? Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought to the king in raiment of needlework. How many know there's a ministry that wants to stick you? It's the hand ministry. Does the needlework. The apostles, come on, help me now. Prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. Maybe you got some needling you today. Well, you need it. I need it. They need to stir us out of our nest, don't they? Like the eagle. She shall be brought to the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, notice, the virgins, her companions. Here's the second group now. That follow her shall be brought also unto thee. Glory to God. So there's one that's got his goal. They got his nature, and within her clothing is gold. I mean, the clothing tonight is not so much outside. It's what we get on the inside. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, let me, in closing here, I got so much I can't get all to you, but let me just give you seven things here. Let me tell you seven things that we got to do to get the garments on. Number one, of course, we've got to overcome. Can you say amen to that? We've got to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil in His name, in His righteousness, in His word, and so forth. Remember, it's the Lamb that's overcoming, but it's the Lamb through you and me that's overcoming, right? Number two, we've got to put on righteousness. We've got to put on His righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, and that's revealed from faith to faith. Number three, we've got to be cleansed by the blood. Now, I want to give you two scriptures on this that we haven't looked at. Turn over to Revelation 7, then we'll go to Proverbs real quick. We've got to be cleansed by the blood. How many thank God for the blood of Jesus tonight?
Amen.
Revelation, here's the people coming out of great tribulation, tribulation saints. And John said it's a number no man can number. Well, that's like counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or whether it's 666. But nevertheless, they cannot be numbered, he says here. It's a great multitude coming out of great tribulation. You can't come out of something unless you've been in it. And notice verse 14. They have washed their robes and they have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And because of that, they're before the throne. They're serving day and night. There's no night where God is. Night is right here. Yet they're before the throne, yet they're serving Him day and night. And they're the temple of God. And, of course, the Lamb is in the midst of them. He's feeding them, leading them to fountains of living of waters. That's the body of Christ. God's going to take away all tears. Turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs. We're talking about the blood. This is a type of the church. It's a type of a wife, type of the church as well. In Proverbs 31, notice in verse 21, it says, she is not afraid of the snow. I mean, Jesus said, pray your flight be not in the what?
Winter.
Winter speaks of restriction. You're held back, you're held down, and so forth. But the winter he was talking about there in Matthew 24 was tribulation. And here it says, this woman, this wife, or this church, is not afraid of tribulation. She's not afraid of the snow. For her household, notice that, for all her household are clothed, come on, help me now, with scarlet. How many know that's the blood?
Right.
Next verse, she maketh her coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Speaks of royalty. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. How many know that's Jesus? How many know the gates is where the elders sit, the leaders of the cities? And he's known in the gates. When he sitteth among the elders of the land. Hallelujah. He better be sitting there, hadn't he? Next verse, she maketh fine linen. There it is again. And selleth it and delivereth girdles to the merchants. Hallelujah. She's selling girdles. I'm going to get on that. Verse 25. Strength, here it is now. Here's a double portion. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice, here it is, in time to come. Whether it be tribulation, whether it be snow, whether it be hard times. Why? Because her household, hallelujah, is clothed with the blood. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Oh, my God. Amen. She shall rejoice in the time to come. So, number one, we got to overcome. Number two, we got to put on righteousness. Number three, we got to be cleansed by the blood. Number four, we got to be purged from iniquity. We saw that tonight in Zechariah 3. Number four?
Yeah, four.
All right. Number five, we've got to yield to the glory of God. Turn to Revelation 12, verse 1. Just one verse. Revelation 12, 1. Notice what it says here. Revelation 12, 1. We must yield to the glory of God, the Spirit of God. And there appeared a great wonder, a sign where? Did you know that heaven's imperfect there? You know why? Because the dragon's in that same heaven. Wherever he's at, how many know you got imperfection? A woman clothed with the sun. That's God's glory, isn't it? Clothed, fully clothed. How many has ever seen these little angels on the wall that's half naked? How many know that isn't of God? No one will draw a naked angel, I want to tell you, or any kind of thing like that. Now, here he said, this woman was clothed with the sun, the moon was under her feet, that's her authority and dominion, and upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. She's all lit up. She's got the glory of God covering her. Amen? And lastly, how many know we need some restoration? Well, I'll say lastly, one of the number six, we need restoration. How many remember when the prodigal came back? You know there were two prodigals, really. The one who stayed and the one who strayed. You know what a prodigal means? It means a waster. How many know we're not careful, we can be a waster too of the good things of God. But when he came back, how many know the father met him and kissed him, put a ring on his finger, and clothed him with the vesture of righteousness? Hallelujah. He restored him. You know what he restored him to? Total sonship, full sonship. How many know we need to come into full sonship? Amen. He came out of the hog pen. He came back to the Father. The Father restored him. Praise God. There is renewal. There's restitution. There's restoration in God. Maybe you've fallen. God is able to restore you. Can you say amen? You know, when David sinned, God forgave him. But God, David wanted more than forgiveness. David wanted restoration. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And lastly, here's the last one. You got to wake up. Turn to Isaiah 52. We'll close with that scripture. You got to wake up if you're going to put on God's garments. You got to be a wise virgin. Amen. How many know it's high time to wake up, all of us? Come out of our sleep. 52:1. Notice, awake, awake. Well, God's not sleeping. I'm glad He's not, aren't you? Awake, awake, put on thy strength. That's joy. O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. How many know that dust is serpent's meat? That's what he wants to feed on, the carnal mind. So he said, first of all, wake up. Now he said, shake yourself, come out of the dust, get out of that carnal state. Begin to ascend in God. Amen. Arise and then sit down. Hallelujah. O Jerusalem. Notice the first word again. Awake, awake. Now, if you go back up in 51 verse, 9? We'll see who he's talking about here as well. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. How many know there'd be no hand without the arm? That arm speaks of strength. But look, let's see what this arm did. Verse 9, the last part of it. It said that they wounded the dragon. How many want to see that happen? Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, tonight we thank you for the holy garments that you're clothing your people with. Purge our iniquity, Lord. Cleanse our hearts. Put on the mitre upon our heads. Give us the mind of Christ, Lord Jesus, we ask. And clothe us. Hallelujah. Wash us in the blood tonight, Lord. Let us yield to the glory of God. Let us be endued with power from on high to slip into that heavenly garment. Hallelujah. Let that heavenly garment be slipped over us. We thank you tonight for the Holy Spirit that's covering us. The glory of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We love you. We bless your people tonight. We thank you for what you're doing and have done in this meeting, Lord. Thank you for my own personal deliverance today, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord. I give you glory and honor, Lord. I thank you for ministering to me today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you. Lord, I hold up the ministries tonight. I hold up, again, Brother Jack that couldn't be here, Lord. We hold Brother Jack up, Lord, and we ask you to touch Brother Jack tonight. God, we just remember our brother. And God, for Brother Golden, as he goes back to the mission field, wherever God leads him, we just pray for him and his wife and family. We pray for Brother Norman Parrish tonight on the mission field. We pray, Lord, for the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists that you have called and equipped, Lord. We pray for them tonight. Lord, in the land, that you would do a work in them and through them, Lord. Purge your ministry, cleanse your ministry, and Lord, purge your people as well. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. We love you. May the Lord bless you real good. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Tommy, Brother Goodson, Sister Sutter. Let's praise the Lord in some song as we go.
Yea, the Lord saith unto his people this night, that I have had mercy upon your weaknesses and unto your failure, saith the Lord. And I would say unto you, draw not back in weakness and failure, but draw near unto me with a true heart and full assurance of faith. For I speak unto you of love and of mercy and forgiveness and of restoration. And I will restore unto you, saith the Lord, instead of causing you to go backward, I will cause you to go forward. Therefore be not afraid. Be not condemned, saith the Lord. I offer unto you repentance, saith the Lord. I offer you an open door that no man can shut. Go ye forward, saith the Lord. Take new courage and new strength in the Lord your God this night to go forward and prosper. For yea, I stand in thee, I have seen your thoughts. And I have seen your thoughts of dread and of fear, saith the Lord. But I say to you, I will remove away those thoughts of dread. I will remove away from you those thoughts of fear, that you may be fully assured in the Lord that I am giving you strength, repentance, and restoration, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah. The Lord God is going to visit this land another time. The Lord is going to pour out His Spirit and His strength upon His people in this hour. Yea, the latter rain is going to come, so get prepared, saith the Lord. I'm going to visit my people again, saith the Lord. Yea, lift up thine hands, lift up thine heart, and know that I, the Lord thy God, am in the midst of thee. And once again, thou shalt see a mighty move in the land. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
to the Lord. Oh, let your hearts ascend to the Lord. Oh, worship Him in the Spirit. Worship Him in the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Elias and the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.